Morning, church. It's a privilege to be here to share with you God's word. The theme for this month is our church's seven anointed pillars. So far, we have covered anointed worship, anointed word, and anointed altar. Today, we're going to talk about anointed leaders. But to begin, I'd like to ask all of you a few questions. The first question is, who is one person that comes to your mind when we say he or she is a leader? Think about it. The first person. You got it? The second question. Who is the person that comes to your mind when we say he or she is an anointed leader? Alright? The third question, raise your hand if the two persons you have in mind are the same. Great. Now raise your hand if they are not the same. Don't worry, I'll not ask you who they are. Now raise your hand, those who are thinking about where to go for breakfast. Nobody. Wonderful. The point is there a difference between a leader and an anointed leader? In BBTC, we define a leader is a person or believer who is in the position of influencing others towards the outworking of kingdom's values. In other words, this leader is one who walks with God, and as he serves, out of the overflow of his heart, rooted in the Word, filled with the Spirit of the living God. So, many are leaders, but not all are anointed. With that, it also means anointed leaders need not be church leaders. They can be marketplace leaders, parents, any believers who are in a position of influence. So now turn to someone beside you and say, you can be an anointed leader. And make sure you sound convincing. The next question is, how then can we become an anointed leader? What are some handles that can help us to do so? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But first, let's talk to our leader, the greatest leader of all, our Lord Jesus, and ask Him to speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord Almighty, thank you so much for leading us. Truly, you are the greatest leader among us. You are the anointed one. So today, in the light of the scriptures, teach us what it means to be an anointed leader just like you. Quieten our hearts, open our eyes to behold wonderful truths out of your law on the topic of anointed leaders. And now as a servant dearly loved by you, speak for your word. May the words that come out from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A man was recently promoted to be the chief inspector. He was walking, he saw a farmer and told him, I want to inspect your farm. The farmer replied, sure, but please don't go to the other side. The inspector took out his badge and shouted loudly, excuse me, see this badge? I'm the chief inspector. This means I can go anywhere I want on any land with no question asked. Do you understand? The farmer nodded and apologized and went back to work. Shortly after, the farmer heard someone screaming, help, help! He looked up and saw that the inspector was running for his life. He was chased by a bull. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on the inspector. The farmer quickly dropped his tools, ran to the fence and shouted, your badge! Show him your badge! Anointed leader is not about just holding a position or having a badge to show others. Of course, there's a place for titles, but an anointed leader is more than that. So exactly what is anointed leader and what is not? With that, we're going to look at two kings in the Bible and draw three lessons for us this morning. The two kings are the first king of Israel, King Saul, and the second is our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One who has failed God, the other one succeeded and will reign now and forevermore. And the text for our consideration this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15, where we will look at the life and leadership of King Saul. But first, let's take a look at his context. 1 Samuel, it was during a time where there was no king in Israel yet. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Even though God was leading his people, they asked for a king instead. From there, 1 Samuel presents to us transitions of various roles from one season to the other. Samuel took over from Eli. David took over from Saul as priests and kings respectively. In other words, in 1 Samuel, we see God is the one who is in charge of his leaders and the succession of both priests and kings in the history of Israel and even today. Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul was called to be a king, but he failed and was rejected in the end. What went wrong? What were the lessons that we can learn? With that, can I get you to read for us 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 to 11 at a count of 3. 1, 2, 3. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. The text begins with a setting where King Saul was anointed by God to be the first king of Israel, after which the first thing that God told Saul, the king, to do as a leader is to listen. You see, ancient kings didn't have to listen. People listened to them. In fact, their words are law. Thus, we must expect Samuel to say, "My king, now lead," and not listen. "My king, now rule and reign." No, first, listen. "Oh, my king, now serve." No, first, listen. What and who was the king supposed to listen to? Verse 1 tells us that Saul was to listen to the message from God, his master. That brings us to the first key to become an anointed leader. We must first learn to listen. You see, the key to an anointed leader lies in his ability or her ability to listen to his master. And we must only have one master in life. A new Christian read that many kings in the Bible have many wives. So the new believer asked his pastor, Pastor, did the Bible ever say that we cannot have more than one wife?" The pastor thought for a while and said, "Yes, Jesus says no one can serve two masters." Takes a while for you to understand that. By the way, this pastor is not from BBTC. The truth is, we cannot serve two masters. We are called to serve God and God alone. So we must learn to listen and obey our master. Then we are truly serving him alone. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 3 tells us that Saul was told to attack the Amalekites and destroy all that belongs to them. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, the older brother of Israel or Jacob. Therefore, the Amalekites were Israel relatives. They were supposed to help the Israelites. Instead, they attacked the Israelites. When they left Egypt, Not only so, the Israelites were then slaves, not trained for war, not ready at all. Yet, Deuteronomy chapter 25 tells us that the Amalekites would capture the weak and the helpless of the Israelites, the children, women from the back. They would then do all kinds of evil and harm to them. They were ruthless, violent people who had no fear of the Lord. So Samuel told Saul, go and destroy the Amalekites and spare no one, not even the animals, for God didn't even want anything from these people. Verse 4. So Saul summoned the people. Verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way. Wonderful. It looks like Saul got the message. He listened and obeyed. But verse 9, but Saul spared Agag, the king, and the best of Gambing and also Lembo. Everything that was good, they were not willing to destroy completely. Did Saul miss the message from God? This cannot be, because the instruction was so clear. It was stated clearly that what they were expected to do and what they must not do. Destroy all. Do not spare. Don't miss this. When God say, do not spare, Saul spare. When God say, destroy everything, Saul kept something. When God say, destroy all, Saul was not willing. When God say, listen, Saul heard and disobeyed. Verse 11 then tells us that God regret making Saul the king. Now, understand, this verse is not saying God made a mistake or God was very angry. In fact, it was a statement of grief, for what Saul did hurt God deeply. God wanted Saul to succeed, but Saul chose to disobey. That grieved his master. Ephesians 4 verse 30 tells us that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The context of this verse is disobedience. Maybe lying, stealing, use of unwholesome words. Disobedience, grief our God. Martin Luther put it this way, I rather be obedient than able to work miracles. For an anointed leader must learn to listen and obey. Jesus then gave us two reasons why we are supposed to do so in John chapter 10 verse 27. He said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. In other words, the purpose to listen is so that we will follow or obey. For only God knows the best. And as we listen and obey, listen and obey, listen and obey, this is where the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is strengthened. Therefore, the phrase, I know them, speak about that relationship. The second reason why we are to listen. For our relationship with God and obedience to God matter to God. Yet Saul missed both of them. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 16, Saul even had to ask Samuel, what did God say to you? Tell me. For there was no true relationship between God and Saul. Worse, instead of working on it, he disobeyed. Samuel then concluded, obedience is better than sacrifice. Church, we must learn to listen and obey. Years ago, I was dating my ex-girlfriend Winnie. We have this conviction. We will not travel overseas alone before marriage. The reason is simple. We were taught to flee from temptations. So, during one of the church camps, we finally got to travel together, but with the church. I really look forward to that camp. As we were in different cell groups, so we didn't get to spend much time together during the day. The only time we have together alone was after the last message at night. It was about 10. I finally got to meet my love. The first thing she said to me was, "Would you want to visit a brother in Christ with me? Maybe I can connect you with him." What came to my mind was, "What? Are you listening?" I was really upset and say, "I don't want to meet anyone. Why don't you go and I go back to my room?" And I left. It was then I was alone in the room. So what do you do alone when you are in a hotel during a church camp? You watch TV. No. I didn't. I remember I opened up the scriptures, not because it was a church camp, but because I knew that something was wrong. I needed that time with the Lord. I opened up my Bible to where I last stopped reading. It was 1 Corinthians 13. As I read it, the room was very quiet. Of course, what do you expect? You're alone in the room. No, what I meant was God was silent. I was getting nothing out of the text, so I asked God, "What's wrong, Lord?" It was then I remembered something I learned from my mentor. When God is silent, it could be because you have not followed the last instruction that He has given you. So I read the text carefully again. Love is patient, love is kind. Does not envy, does not boast. It's not proud, it's not easily angered. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Suddenly the font size of my Bible enlarged before me. I see. I needed to repent from a heart of anger and disappointment. I could sacrifice my time, my money to go for church camp, but my heart was not right. For obedience is better than sacrifice. So I took up the courage and called Winnie to apologize. It was not easy. I dialed her room number. I took a deep breath, all ready to say, "I'm sorry." Before I could say anything, the person on the line said, "Yes, who are you looking for?" That was Winnie's roommate, after which I apologized. Not to the roommate, but to Winnie. Then we got married and lived happily ever after. So, brothers and sisters, how about you? What is the last instruction that God has given to you? Have you obeyed? Or are you even listening? Do you take time to read your Bible regularly? Do you take time to write down in your journals what God has said to you? And then obey. If you are not doing so as a leader, then where are you leading God's people to? No condemnation, but we are called to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit, and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So listen and obey, listen and obey, listen and obey. And the greatest blessing for doing so will be a stronger relationship between you and your master. Oh, but it's not easy, Elder Kogwan. I don't even know how to listen to God or read the Bible. Oh, we all start somewhere. That brings me to the next key for the day. An anointed leader must learn to learn. Somewhere in September last year, a church leader came to me and said, "Kogwan, it's time for you to learn how to lead." I have a high respect for this leader, but I don't quite understand what she meant. After all, I'm already serving as a leader. Interestingly, that very week, an elder and a pastor each passed me a book on leadership. I better work on it. I was reminded that nothing happens by chance. With that, I reflect upon it and I wrote in my journal that leadership is something we must learn, unlearn, and relearn. Since then, I found the more I learn about leadership, there's so much more I need to learn. For a leader is a learner. With that, let's take a look at how Saul failed to learn. So can I get you to read 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11 to 21 at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for reading. Sometimes it's good to read chunks of scripture. It actually nurtures our souls. The text begins with a contrast where Saul was so happy to see Samuel. The New Living Translation reads, "Saul greeted Samuel, cheerfully. He did not even know that Samuel had just cried for him the night before. To Saul, he had already obeyed God's instruction. Church, sin can be so deceiving. So when Samuel asked Saul, "Then what is all this beating of sheep and goat?" I mean, you can hear, smell, see, and even touch it. So Saul, why did you disobey God? Many believe Samuel was giving Saul a chance to repent and confess. Yet listen to what Saul was going to say. How he skillfully covered his sin with his words. Samuel answered, "The soldier brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to the sacrifice to the Lord your God. And we totally destroyed the rest." In other words, it was not my fault, Samuel. The soldiers were the ones who spared, not me. Oh, for me, I tried. We totally destroyed the rest. And Samuel, the fault lies also with the animals. They were so good to be destroyed. They were the best. For we kept only the best. Not for ourselves. Don't forget, we did that all for you and your God. So what is the problem now? Samuel had to say, "Enough! Sorry if I woke you up." The word "enough" was meant to wake Saul up. For partial obedience is still disobedience. What God wants from us are our lives, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, not dead sacrifices. The problem lies with the heart of Saul, a heart of pride, without gratitude. Then Samuel continued in verse 17, saying, "Saul, you were once more in your eyes, and God lifted you up. Have you forgotten? God was the one who made you the head of all tribes. God was the one who anointed you as king of Israel. God was the one who sent you for a mission. God was the one who gave you an instruction. But you are the one who disobeyed our God. Why, Saul? Why? Why are you not thankful? Why do you disobey?" Verse 19, "Why do you pounce and rush to do what is evil in the sight of God? Saul, you are now behaving like the Amalekites. Where is the fear of the Lord?" After saying all this, listen to what Saul said in verse 20. "Excuse me. I did obey the Lord. I went for the mission. I completely destroyed." Look, all that I've done for God. Samuel, can't you see? God is so blessed to have me on His side. Don't miss this, Samuel. Not only was Saul not listening, he was not learning. Only when Samuel told him, "Because you have rejected God's word, God now rejects you as His king." Then Samuel admitted, "Oh yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed." Did Saul really learn his lesson? Now read carefully. The sin here is not just about the Amalekites. There is a bigger problem here that we must not miss. Verse 12. Early in the morning, Saul set up a monument after the victory for his own honor. For his own honor. In other words, even if Saul destroyed everything, he was doing it for himself. For his own honor. Moreover, in the ancient days, kings kept the leaders they have captured as a monument for others to remember their achievements. There are many in the Bible. Thus Saul kept a guard alive also for himself. Some may argue, but Saul confessed his sin and went back for forgiveness in verse 25. Saul even say he want to worship God. Sounds so good. But the spirit was not from God. What Saul had inside was not a broken spirit or a contrite heart. If not, Saul would have accepted God's will that he would no longer be king and just continue to serve. No. He was more concerned about his reputation than true repentance. He said, I have sinned, but please honor me. Honor me before the elders. It was about Saul again, not the King of Kings. Honor me first, and we will worship God. Me first, then God. Samuel then concludes in verse 23, your sin was idolatry, and the idol was Saul himself. Church, an anointed leader is not perfect. There are many anointed leaders in the Bible. David, Abraham, Peter. They all failed more than once. Yet, they were not disqualified. For this is a process of learning to be godly. But Saul disqualified himself. He failed once in 1 Samuel chapter 13 where he offered sacrifices where he was not supposed to. Same place. Gilgal. Yet he failed to learn his lesson. Church, we must not stop learning. A disciple is a learner. You can always learn to be a better leader, a better father or mother, a better husband or wife, a better boss. Whatever position of influence you are in, never stop learning. You see, as a new young elder, not very young, yeah, there is so much I need to learn. About 2 years ago, I started to serve as a worship pastor. One key thing I learned as I serve is we must start on time. First service, 8:30. Second service, 10:45. Sometimes our senior pastor would kindly signal, go, start now. Yes, sir. After a while, I was telling myself, relax, people are late. But it's good to start on time. I remember there was once SP was not around. It was my time to serve again. The time was 10:40. So we gathered the worship team and we prayed. Some of us were chatting. I thought we still have some time. Then I look at my watch. 10:55. When I walk up the stage, slowly. And coming to the end of the message, one of the elders said to me, oh, today we're going to end very late. He was right. It was 10:12:45. And the speaker was still talking. At the back of my mind was, the speaker was very low tone. So long-winded. Guess what? We end the service at 1. As I was sitting there, it dawned upon me, the problem was not with the speaker, not the congregation, not the worship team. It was my fault. I should have kept to the time. And the story did not end there. I thought I've learned my lesson about 1 or 2 months later. It was my time to serve again. This time round, SP was around. Instead of waiting for him, I'm already. So it was about time to start. I approached SP confidently. Sir, time to start. Then he showed me this. Wait. And he took out his phone from his wallet and said, we still have 1 more minute. I learned something that day. Must follow his watch. I hope you get a point. Guard your heart from pride. We think we know, and suddenly we think that it's other people's fault. Never mind. Not mine. And when that happens, we stop learning. There's so much to learn as a leader. Not just to start on time. How to manage resources, conflict management, church discipline, changing of cultures, vision casting, so much more. But start small and don't stop learning. Remember, Samuel was a little boy who did not know how to listen to God. And he learned from Eli. 1 Samuel 15, Samuel had become a man of God who has learned how to listen and obey. He became an anointed priest. Samuel learned from Eli, Joshua learned from Moses, Elisha learned from Elijah, Timothy learned from Paul. The question is, who are you learning from? And what do you need to learn now? Often I ask God this question, Lord, what do I need to learn in preparation for the next season of my life? You see, often I share with those who are going to be parents for the first time that they are to make time to read about parenting. Because when the baby arrives, you have very little time to read anymore. In fact, God gives you 9 months to get ready. So, better read. For those who are going army, what do you need to learn? For those who are getting married, what do you need to find out? For those who are going to be grandparents, what do you need to look out for? For those who are going to be cell leader or cell supervisor, what do you need to acquire? Different roles require different skill set. You cannot run the house the way you run your company or your army. A cell supervisor cannot lead the way he leads a cell. I cannot lead the teachers the way I lead my students. There must be a difference in leading 10, 100, or even thousands. The reason is obvious. Because they are different. So, learn. With that, let me give you 4 ways that have helped me to learn over the years. First, go for courses. I just attended sex talks with our kids yesterday. It was very good. You see, my children are growing really fast, especially when they eat like their father. But the point is, for their next season, I must learn. Second, read. Carve out time in your schedule, read and reflect. Write down what you have learned, and then apply. Next, learn from your mentors. And when you meet them, don't talk so much. Ask questions, listen, and learn. There's so much to offer. Lastly, apply. We learn best when we do it. And the best part is that we can do all these 4 at the same time. Whatever you do, learn. For learning is part of life and leadership. The earlier you learn the ropes, the better you can serve the Lord. But when you stop learning, you stop growing. And after all this, the most important step is must apply what we have learned. That brings me to the last point for the day. A leader must lead. Of course, a leader must lead. But the truth is, not all leaders are leading. Some are cruising. Some are following. Some are not even doing anything. This cannot be. A leader must lead. And Saul failed to do so again. Look at verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I've violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I give in to them. This tells us the reason Saul chose to disobey God. He was afraid. Some scholars interpret this as Saul was pushing the blame to the people. We read that just now. But I believe what he said was also true. He was afraid. Because he wanted to please them. Read 1 Samuel chapter 13. That confirms it. Galatians 1:10 tells us, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I'm still trying to please people, I will not be a servant of Christ. The principle is this. When we fear men, we often end up losing the fear of God. We need to choose whose voice we want to listen to and follow and lead. Look at Saul again. There were many voices around him. Verse 1. The voice of God. This is what the Lord Almighty saying. Verse 14. The voice of the things of this world. The sheep and the goats. In his ears. Verse 24. The voice of men. I'm afraid of them. It doesn't matter if the voice comes from the world, the men, the evil one, or even animals, or ourselves. What matters most is we must learn to listen to God. Train to lead yourself in the Lord as you lead others for the Lord. Self-leadership is critical. Saul failed to do so. When he spared Agag, the people learn and follow. Therefore, they spare the best of spoil. When the leader fails, the people follow. And there are implications when we disobey. Not just in this generation. There are consequences that we might not see. Let me just give you two. Saul failed to destroy the Amalekites. In the end, he was killed. 2 Samuel chapter 1 tells us this. Saul was killed by a soldier. And the soldier was an Amalekite. The story did not end there. Years later, in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 1, we were told that there was a man named Haman who tried to kill all the Jews. Oh, this man was evil, and God sent Esther. But do you know that this man was a descendant of King Agag? There are consequences to sin. How we lead our lives, how we lead others, is critical. Saul led, yes, but he led the people against the will of God. Church, when the evil one or the world shout at us, if you go to church, you may lose the customer who only can meet on weekends. If you serve as a cell leader, you have less time for yourself. Or you have no time, don't worry. The children and grandchildren will grow up well and follow the Lord. Don't believe in a lie. There's a price to pay. Of course, it takes time and hard work. Therefore, Paul tells us this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 8, we are to lead diligently. He will be right to say, if it is leadership, do it skillfully. If it is leadership, do it cheerfully. If it is leadership, do it intentionally. But yet he say, if it is leadership, then do it diligently. Why? Because leadership is hard work. One of our core values on leadership is leaders need to be diligent to know the state of the flock. That includes our children and grandchildren. So where do we start? A suggestion would be, make time to think through how you should lead. Who are you influencing? What does God want you to do? Who are the people that you can influence? What do they need? How do you lead them to fulfill God's destiny for them? Who are the potential leaders? How can you help them to grow? What obstacles will you face and how do you overcome them? As Jesus revealed this to us, lead. With that, allow me to bring us back to the best example of the anointed leader among us, Jesus. You see, Jesus listens. The world could be shouting at him, yet his ears are tuned in only to his Father God. John chapter 5 verse 19 tells us, Jesus can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father is doing. In other words, Jesus listens and obeys. Of course, God used people to speak to us. Even so, we need to bring all that what people have said before God and ask God to direct us. Second, Jesus learns. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Church, obedience is a posture we can acquire. So learn. Lastly, Jesus leads. He leads by serving his disciples. He leads by washing their feet. He leads by dying on the cross for you and for me. With that, can I get you to read Matthew chapter 20, 25, 28 at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Jesus showed us what it means to lead. Serve. Pay the price and serve. Jesus did that for us and we are to go and do likewise. With that, let me close with a story. At the beginning of this year, I was tasked to become the discipline master of the school. I'm still trying to figure out why. As I was new to the job, there were so many things I need to learn. In March, A colleague texts me and says, some boys pour a bottle of detergent all over the floor in the toilet and the cleaner had a hard time cleaning it. I knew I needed to do something. So I pray and approach two of my most experienced colleagues for advice. Then they told me there's nothing much you can do because we never install CCTV in the toilet. I see. Honestly, I also have no idea where to begin. The next morning, I was having breakfast. God impressed upon me to go to the toilet to check it out. But I'm eating. But then I told the Lord, I didn't even know which toilet. But I decided, listen and follow. As I was walking to one of the toilets, I saw my colleague I mentioned earlier. He asked me, where are you going? I told him, I'm going to block D to toilet to check it out. He smiled at me and said, not block D, it's block B. Oh. He just reminded me that I don't even know which block, what time, which level, you know, which toilet, which cleaner. I only know it was my school. Okay, now I know. Block B. So I went. I started from the top level, going down. At level 3, I saw my female colleagues standing outside a boys' toilet. I was curious, so I approached him. What are you doing here? He said that, her students were in the toilet for quite a long time. So she was worried, so she came to take a look. But she could not go in. I said, it's okay, let me go in and take a look. So as I was walking in, there was this boy who came out. I knew this boy. But the two boys were still inside. So I knocked at the door and asked, are you alright? They came out shortly and told me that they have stomach ache but feeling better now. I said, great. So I told the teacher and I left. It was then I was thinking, maybe I should ask the boy I knew. So I went to the class and asked him, hey, do you know what happened yesterday? He said, no. Then I said, someone dirtied the toilet yesterday. Was that you? The boy looks a bit scared and quickly say, Mr. Lo, it's not me, the two boys. Problem solved. It was then I went to the teacher and verified. Did the two boys went to the toilet yesterday for a long time? The teacher looked at me and said, how do you know? I want to say, of course I know. Then I told the two boys, I'm going to give you a chance to tell me what you did. If I tell you, the consequences will be different. Immediately they confessed. Like teacher and student, they look at me puzzled. How do you know? I want to tell them, I don't know, but God knows. After which I called their parents, I brought the boys to apologize to the cleaner. Of course, counsel them and give them a verbal warning. What's the point? I learned an important lesson that day. If God has called you, He will lead you. For it is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, that as God calls you, He will see you through. And all you need to do is listen, learn, and lead. Of course, there are cases I still could not solve, but more than one time, I saw the hands of God guiding me. Church, our God is faithful. Trust Him. Be faithful. You may say, I got a lot of problems at home, at workplace, even in church. But if God has called you, lead. And you will see that our God is faithful. So, brothers and sisters, how about you? How is it like for you as you serve the Lord in church, in the marketplace, or even at home? How do you intend to lead or serve? Are you following the leading of God? Or are you cruising? Or not doing anything? What is holding you back? We may not always get it right, but we can always listen, learn, and lead. Recently, I have a privilege to learn from a teacher who teaches Christian leadership. He was in a rush, so I only have time for one question. And this was the question I asked him. If there's one thing you can teach about Christian leadership, what would that be? The teacher thought for a while and said, Christian leadership is about becoming like Jesus. Oh, that is so true.
Becoming like Jesus, the anointed one, the anointed leader. And that reminds me of a hymn that I sang when I first became a cell leader 20 years ago. Someone taught me this. It goes something like, Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Oh Lord, I am willing to what you must do to make me like you. Saul was not willing. Jesus was willing. The question for you today, the last question for you today, are you willing? Are you willing? I teach my children, there are three things you must do when you grow up. Honor the Lord. Build the church. Win the lost. And together, we listen, learn, and lead. Let's pray. Even as we close our eyes and bow our head, take this moment to just ponder what God has impressed upon your heart this morning. For when the word of God is preached, God desires for us to respond to Him. And today we are to pray for three groups of people. The first group are those who have not come to know Jesus. In other words, you are not a Christian. God loves you, my friend. He's asking you to believe in Him today. He died for you on the cross. And all you need to do is to say this prayer. Repent from your sin and turn to Him. And He will come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. And today if you say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. I'm not Christian, but I want to believe in Jesus today. And start this journey with God. If that is you, we would like to pray for you. Can we get you to raise your hand and respond to God? If you are not Christian and today you say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. Is there anyone? Just put up your hands. Yes, God sees your hand, my friend. The Lord loves you. Yes, God sees your hand. Anybody else? If God is speaking to your heart today, just raise your hand and say, God, I believe. Say this prayer after me for those who have raised your hand. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me. I repent and I will turn to you. Help me to be the person you want me to be. I now receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the two brothers who have raised your hand, I encourage you to just come forward later, right, and then someone will talk to you, right, to encourage you and to help you in your journey with God. The Lord bless you. Can we give God a big hand? In the posture of prayer, the second group are those who are holding back. Or perhaps you're asking God to use you as a leader. There's so many things that bothers you. God said, no. Trust me and lead. Or perhaps you're discouraged. You feel like giving up. Remember, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God that He will teach us and guide us as we learn to listen, learn, and lead. And if today you say, yes, Lord, I will not hold back anymore. I want to be used by you. Help me. Even if I'm discouraged, I will lead. I will serve. If that is you, we would like to pray for you. Can I just get you to raise your hand and respond to God? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. The Lord sees your hand. You're not responding to men. I don't even know your name. But God knows. God knows you. If you say, God, yes, help me to lead my family. Help me to lead my company. Help me to lead my department. Help me to lead the ministry you have given to me. And that's you. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody else? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. The Lord sees your hand, sister. Yes, the Lord sees your hand. Father, we pray for those who raise their hand. If they are holding back, Lord, help them to trust in you. To know that, Lord, you love them enough that they can trust you as they take the step of faith to lead. I pray the Lord that you will grant them revelation as they lead. For those who are already serving, they want to be used by you, they want to have more of you. I pray, Lord, that in the midst of doing so, they will see your faithfulness, your goodness, and your love, and they will become like Jesus. So I pray that, Lord, you will bless my brothers and sisters, that they will always remember, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, that they will lead. So speak to them and help them to obey and to lead. Bless them in the name of Jesus. The last group of people are the leaders. If you are currently serving as a leader, whether is it you are parents or you are influencing somebody, I'll let you get you to stand. Can I get you to stand? If you are serving as a leader, can we just get you to stand? We know we do rededication at the beginning of the year. In December, all leaders in BBTC, you are given a chance to revisit your commitment, your calling. Could even step down. And we do a rededication in January. But today, since we talk about anointed leadership, I want to challenge you to come to God afresh and ask God to just anoint you. You know the step. Listen, obey, learn as much as you can, and then lead by serving. Anybody else? If you are in a position of influence, today you say, God, I want to rededicate myself afresh to you as a father, as a mom, grandparents. Encourage you to stand. Yes. You're not standing for men to see, for God to see. Yes, the Lord bless you, sister. Father, I bless my brothers and sisters. I give thanks to you for their lives. I give thanks to you that, Lord, now you look at your children standing as they serve you. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit to do your work for you and with you. I pray, Lord, that you will help them in this journey. When they open up the scriptures, God, they will have revelation upon revelation. They will learn to listen to you. Give them the will to obey you. Father, as they learn, bring along godly men and women into their lives to teach them, to guide them. Bring along resources that they can read and they can learn. I pray, Lord, that they will always be in the posture of a learner. Father, I pray that even as they lead, they will always look to Jesus to know that it is hard work, but yet they will not give up. But they will continue to serve as Jesus has done so all the way to the cross. And Lord, that shall it be done. And most important of all, I pray for those who are standing, that in the days, in the months, in the years to come, that we will all become like Jesus, our Master, the anointed leader of it all. If we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name, and all God's people say, Amen. Can we get you to rise as we sing the closing song? And for those who have raised your hand, I encourage you, as we talk about this place, the front is the anointed altar, a place where the Lord can minister to you as you minister before Him. So I want to encourage you to build an altar before the Lord, the leaders to come, to build an altar before the Lord on your left. And for those who need prayer, someone to journey with you, to pray for you, I want to encourage you to come to your right. And for the ones who have said a prayer just now to receive Jesus, I encourage you to come to your right as we pray for you, as we sing this song. Let's sing and worship the Lord as you come. we are still present with the Lord, then I encourage you to just build an altar before the Lord, just between you and the Lord. If you need prayer, I encourage you to just come and let the Lord minister to you. Don't leave this place until you met the Lord. Church is for all of us to learn to listen and to learn and to lead as the Lord guides us. And the message is relevant to all of us because the Lord has made us leaders, all of us. And we are installed as kings and as priests in the kingdom of God. It is God who has made us king. It is God who has made us priests. And although not all of us are in positions of organizational leadership, the Lord has called each and every one of us to be leaders in situations that He has placed us in, to exercise leadership and counsel and help in our families, in our relationships, in our home fronts, in our small groups. And just as Elder Kok Kwan has invited those of us in positions of leadership to stand up, I believe it is an invitation that is relevant to all of us. And so as we sing this song again, if the words of knowledge means anything to us, if the message of the Lord this morning is speaking to us directly, how we can yield our lives, how we can use the gifts of leadership and to use them diligently for the expansion of the kingdom of God, I invite you to come forward and build this altar before the Lord. As we sing this song again, we move forward and build this commitment before the Lord this morning. Reminder this morning, Lord, just as we are called to lead, Father, you called us to serve and not to be served. You called us, O God, not to be the first, but to be the last. You called us, O Father, not to build a monument for ourselves, but by our lives, O God, to build an altar unto the Lord. Not to seek our own glory, but the glory of God. And you called us, O Father, as leaders, not just to have courage, O God, but to have ears that hear, to have hearts, O God, which are obedient and which are able to learn. And Father, to look not upon men, and not into the mirror, O Lord, for the inspiration of leadership, but to look fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ,
the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord, as to how we should learn to lead, to serve, and to glorify you. And so, Lord, place upon our hearts the burden of leadership this day, that we have a responsibility one for another, that we have a responsibility, O God, to shine for you in the places that you place us in, that we may learn to lead like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and to serve like him. So go before us, O Father, that we may always shine for you, and be with us, that we may be a blessing to others. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, Amen. Church, the service is over. The Lord bless you all.